So I'm just going to read from the book of Ruth. And Becca's got some Bibles over here. So if you would like a church Bible, then just raise your hand. It's page 267 in the church Bibles. So it's Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to be starting reading in verse 11. But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could bear you, who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her.
Thank you. I'd like to kind of give you a little background on this story, the story of Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite. And they were not friends with these guys, with Naomi and her family. The sons got to this land and married these foreign women, you know, the foreigners. They married the foreigners and brought them into their family because they were in a foreign land. I know that you are very accepting of foreigners, people like me, people like everybody else that's coming into this house tonight that's from a foreign land. I know you are very accepting and very loving as the body of Christ. But what was happening, I think it happens in some other places. What was happening is between the Jews and the Moabites, there were some vast differences, not just cultural differences. Even the gods that people worshipped were different. It wasn't about what they called their God. It was the way, the form of worship was different. Now, as we approach the story, when we read at this stage, Naomi, her husband has died. Ruth, who is the daughter-in-law, her husband has died. And Orpah, too, her husband has died. You probably know the story because Orpah decided that she wasn't going to go with Naomi. But Ruth decided to stick around. Not because she just wanted to go and explore the Jewish lands. She just wanted to go and she was just going to help this old lady get home and then she would go home to her own family. As you read in the Bible, Naomi says to these girls, she says, "Even if I were to get married tonight, I couldn't have children that you would wait for, and then they'll be born, and then they'll grow up, and then you would get married to them. I couldn't wait for that long. I mean, I don't think you would wait for that long." All that just goes over like that. Now, Orpah is the kind of person that makes her decisions. She doesn't waste her time. She made a decision that it was a no, and it was a no. But she was waiting to see what Ruth was going to do. And as soon as Ruth said, "I ain't going nowhere, I'm sticking with you." I don't know if you remember that advert. This is the time when I wish I had probably told the the AV team to probably find this advert. Do you remember the advert? I was, this is probably back in the 2000s. It's an advert about glue. It says, I am sticking with you because I'm made out of glue. Do you remember that one? I'm sticking with you because I'm made out of glue. No? Everything that you would do, I'm sticking with you. Now, Ruth decides she's going to stick with Naomi. My talk here tonight is to really show you the kind of friendship that existed between Ruth and Naomi was a profound one, was one that was amazing, and that all of us can copy their strategy and help be friends to other people. What I would like you to take out of this tonight is that you too can be a Ruth to somebody. Don't wait for people to be a Ruth to you. Be a Ruth to somebody. Now, because you know this story, most of the time I would make that assumption as I go through this passage. The assumption is that you know the story. Now, if you don't know the story, it is a very exciting one. Go back home and read chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Ruth, and it's very, very beautiful. But Naomi said in verse 11, so let's go back to verse 11 of chapter 1. Naomi says to Ruth, to the daughters, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Why would you come with me? To me, there lies the root of everything. Now, true friends, they stick with you through thick and thin. True friends will always stick with you. They don't see anything else but you. So they stick around. Not to see how it's going to turn out and then they run away. No. True friends, they always go with you. And sometimes it's not how long they've been there. It's not because you have performed. It's not because you've done something amazing. It's not because you're a popular person. Because if people stick with you because you're a popular person, they're likely going to dump you when the popularity goes. And if you stick with people because they're popular, all those may really be wrong choices. The best friends that you can make in life are not the 200 that you have on your Facebook. Talking about social media. You know, you get to have, I don't know how many, I think I've got about 180 something friends. When I started going into Facebook, I really wasn't going to go into it, but I started going to Facebook right when it started. This is back then when it started, and my sole aim was, because I had been in the UK for a while, I thought, look, I'll look into seeing whether I could find my secondary school friends, the friends I went to school with in Zimbabwe. Oh yes, I come from Zimbabwe, by the way. So I started looking for friends. I couldn't find anyone. I was going, could it be that they're all dead? Could it be that they've moved and they don't? Could it be that they just don't want to go on Facebook? They don't want to connect? Maybe I'm the weird one that's trying to connect with old friends. And I couldn't find anyone. I must say that that probably happened for 10 years. No one. So I thought, well, I'll leave it as it is. And then after a while I found, wow. But you see, all this time I was gathering friends. So you meet someone, they say, oh, are you on Facebook? And you say, yes, I am. They say, oh, here's my, oh, let's, you should invite me. And then you invite them. And then you become friends. And then you get home and then there's someone who's actually inviting you to be their friends. And you're like, who is this one? Let me check their photo. And suddenly you see so-and-so. And they're like, oh, I remember that person from church. So I gather a lot of people from this church. You know, I'm your friends, but you probably I've never spoken to you about our friendship on Facebook. But I love you. The kind of friendships that I'm talking about, it's not the hundreds that matter. Because even for Jesus, Jesus had 12 disciples. Jesus had more than 12 disciples, but he chose 12. And then out of the 12, he went on and went with 3. And with the 3 that he had, these guys were determined to defend him at all times. Do you remember when Jesus was about to be caught by the mob, when they were coming over? Simon Peter took out his sword and cut off one of the guy's ears. Do you remember that story? Yeah, I'm looking around the room. Yeah, good. So if you remember that story, basically what happened is Peter, because if you are such a friend, you will do anything. Literally anything, sometimes very disgusting things, to defend your friend. I have got one friend like that. My son has never met him, but I've got a friend who is in South Africa. So there happened to be one day when we were going to school. This is primary school, so I'm still in Zimbabwe here, thinking I was probably about 11, 12, and the distance that we were walking to school would have been at that stage, I would say a mile or two, so we were quite close to school. We'll get up. School begins at 7:45, so you need to be at school on time. I know you think, well, Africans are always late, but we did try to get to school on time. 7:45, you know, we get there, thereabouts. It's the thereabouts that matters. And so we, 7:45, we are walking down this valley from our house, walking down the valley. The roads are quite wide, but this particular area was kind of a valley. And my foot had been a pain for days. But this particular time, I'm thinking, oh my God, this it feels like I've got a boil under my, like, middle of my foot. And I'm like, I think I'm going to turn back and go home. And Wilson says to me, no, don't you worry. I'm going to carry you. He carried me all the way to school. What friends would do. I don't know if you've got a friend that would actually carry you when you're in pain. I don't know, but for me, from this passage, what I'm finding is commitment. Commitment is number one. In any friendship, if there is commitment, performance is unnecessary. So I haven't got to please you. I haven't got to do something for you to love me. But as long as I'm committed, it matters. Commitment matters. And that's what Ruth does. Ruth doesn't have to bring any money into it. She is committed to Naomi. She's not looking for a husband, remember. And even later on, she's not looking. It's Naomi that says, go and glean. I'll introduce you to somebody. In our culture, this is what happens. That's what Naomi says. She says, this is what happens. Someone has to carry on the name of the dead man. So in this case, we're going to find you someone to save the name of the dead one. You know, it happens, and Ruth becomes the kind of person that ends up being in Jesus' lineage. I think I'm really trying to make sure you go home and read it. Do you realize how exciting this story is? Because now it's got Jesus in it from Ruth, and it's got Jesus in there. But commitment is one thing that you can draw from this, because you see Naomi is committed. Now, she does not care. Sorry, Ruth is committed. She doesn't care that Naomi is without anything. Naomi can't offer anything. They haven't signed a contract. They haven't put anything down that's written to say, look, if this happens, whose insurance are we going to use? If this happens, you're not going to blame. There's no disclaimers. There's no like, oh, well, you came with me, you got injured, that's your fault. I told you to stay. There's no such thing. But what she's saying, Ruth is like, I'm going with you. I am going with you. I don't care what you're going to bring me. The thing is, I am committed. That's the kind of friendship that matters. I didn't tell you other things about my friend, the one that carried me. We did a lot of things together. He was 2 years older than me. He wasn't a really good example. The kind of things that we did are not the kind of things to be shared in here. So, I'm born in a family of 7 children. I am. I'm number 2 in that family. My big brother is first. We've got a girl somewhere. I think she's number 6. My sister. But my brother and I always fought. We fought. Like, it wasn't really fist fights, but it was close, you know. But I love this guy now. I love my brother. Like, and he loves me so passionately. It's scary the way he loves me. You know, I almost have to ask, what is it you're after? But he loves me. He's not after anything. Having been brought up like that with my brother fighting, well, me fighting him, and then I've got the third born, Lloyd. Lloyd always fought as well. He always fought me. So I was stuck between the two. Every time I'll get beaten and I'll come back, I'll beat him, and then he'll go beat his. And so it'd be all fights. And you can imagine how my parents managed this. But it was that hard. And it's boys. So you got 5 boys in a row. And the boys are always fighting. A lot of energy, a lot of everything. I struggled with 2 of my boys, you know. So I respect my mom. But let's go to a different story here. I wanted so much to beat up my brother. So Wilson, the chap that carried me, decided he's going to help me. He's going to come up with ways that we can go and just beat him up because it's just the right thing. Once again, I'm just showing you that commitment. Thank God. Our next point. Do you remember the story of David? It's in 1 Samuel chapter 23. David and Jonathan. Do you remember the story? David and Jonathan is another story where we actually find true friendship. Whenever there is true friendship, commitment is always there. But the second bit I said earlier was, whenever there is true friendship, you do not need to perform. You don't need to please the other person. So they understand you don't have the resources. They understand you don't have anything to offer. They just love you the way you are. So Ruth understands that Naomi has nothing else to offer, and she goes with him. It's called friendship. It's called just, it's commitment. But commitment gives birth to this thing called friendship. And that's true friendship. You hardly find that. Generally, looking at the number of friends that you've got on Facebook. Yeah? Looking at the number of friends you got on social media. Can you probably pick out, say, 3 that you could say, yeah, they would be committed? Can you? Yes? No? Maybe? I'm going to move on to the next point, because the next point, because I work as an electrician, I get to go into people's houses. I do domestic electrical. I went into this house last week. And the old lady that was there, we'd met before, And she called me, and she really sounded low on the phone. And I was thinking, oh, what could be happening? So I said, look, I'm at work. Could I come by after work? And probably around 5:30, I stopped by. So I stopped by at that time. And like, oh, you sounded really low on the phone. What's going on? She goes, oh, well, look, I had a hip operation. And I'm kind of struggling. Yeah, I'm in pain. I'm drinking a lot of tablets just to keep it under control. And then I said, so how long were you in hospital? And she said, I was there for a few weeks, after maybe 2 weeks or so after the operation. And then I was they released me to go home. And then I said, that must be very, very difficult. You live by yourself and you're having to do everything that you've got to do in the house, keep things in order and cook for yourself and stuff like that. Do you ever get any help? Not really. So at this stage, you're thinking, wow, how could I help? And you always have limits because you're dealing with someone that once you start helping, someone will think you're trying to take advantage of an old person. So there's all those things that cross my mind. And then while I'm speaking to her, something she just said to me, look, Jan, right across, Jan used to visit me when I was in hospital. And she would just come, she would bring a change of clothes for me. And Jan is just a neighbor, Bring change of clothes. She'd bring me food. She would ask me what I want brought over. She would bring it over. And she was really wonderful. Even though Jan and I never speak that much, she was really wonderful. Jan, I know Jan. Somehow happened to know Jan because she's also one of my clients in that same building. Jan is not feeling well at the moment because Jan is 60 and she's been going up the Himalayas. She's been doing very, very, very heavy exercise. And I think it's probably not gone well this time around. And so I was asking her, so have you done the repeat? Have you done the same thing for her? She goes, well, I'm not in good shape. If I was, I would have. Why am I telling you that story? I'm telling you this story because I'm thinking, the test of true friendship happens when you are in your lowest. That's how you see. And if you've never been in your lowest, you'll be looking and just going, oh, everyone is my friend. Everyone loves me. I'm popular. Everyone loves me. Everyone thinks I'm cool. Everyone talks to me. I relate to people. I'm relatable. I'm approachable. So everyone talks. We're cool. I've got a lot of friends. They'll look after me. And when you are in your lowest, no one turns up. And they all know that you are not doing well. You are struggling. Naomi and Ruth, being the passage that we have been looking at, you find that it's very clear that Ruth has no other mission but to serve Naomi. And she does so very diligently. She doesn't miss anything. And then God rewards her through giving her a husband in Boaz. And Boaz is an amazing guy who loves God too. Can I challenge you? Can I challenge you that as you go through your week, as you go through your life, perhaps there are people out there that you look at and you just go, oh, whatever. I cannot speak to them. I can't. They're not relatable. They seem to be in a different class, so they seem to be thinking about something else. They're in a different world right now, even as I look at them. There are people that seem very difficult to approach. Maybe God is actually asking you to be a Ruth. I was thinking for boys, it could be Ruth, you know, for Rufus. But maybe God is asking you to be Ruth. So rather than actually waiting for a Ruth, maybe you need to go out and be that person. You need to reach out and be that person. Can I just say a word of prayer? Father, thank you that you love each of us so much. Thank you that you are committed to us. And even as Dan say that passage in John 15, that you call us friends, that you, the creator of heaven and earth, call us friends, and you are committed to see this mission completed. You are committed to taking us to eternity. Father, we want to declare that we are committed to you. And I ask that you would help us this week, in the coming months and years, that we will be the kind of people that are proactive, that are committed to making friendships that last. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.